share a message with you that I was going to share last night. Last Sunday I had a message to share that I really felt was timely, and then the service shifted a different way, and we ended up spending the majority of our time in worship and people sharing scriptures and words, and so grateful for the time that we had last week. And people said, well, did you not have a sermon? Is that why we did that? And I said, no, I had a sermon. And then people would say to me, hey, you're set for next week. Ha! You know, like, what are you going to do all week? And so I was actually anticipating on sharing that message today. And then yesterday morning I got up and I just thought, it doesn't fit. Last night didn't fit with this morning, and this morning didn't fit, all of that. So last night I shared a message about welcoming Jesus into our humanity, welcoming him into our lives where we are, and welcoming him into the lives of those around us by a simple phrase, by able to be saying to people, may I pray with you right now, may I pray with you. And so this is what I was going to share last week. I don't know if I'm set for next week or not. I kind of doubt it. Usually, in my experience, three strikes, you're out. If I try to preach a message once, twice, by the third time, so who knows what next week's going to look like. But this morning is going to look like last night. I want to talk to you about Christmas present. Christmas present. And I'd like to talk to you about a present that you can give someone. You can, in fact, give anyone. Anyone would appreciate this. It doesn't matter, guy or girl, doesn't matter the age. It would mean so much to them. And it's a Star Trek mug. I think it's the gift for any occasion. And if that's too difficult for you to see on the screen, my family actually gave me this Star Trek mug, very similar to the one there. And then I just think it's so appropriate at any occasion. But that's not actually the gift that I want to talk about that you can give to anyone. This is for the hard to buy for person. Anybody have any of those hard to buy for person that seems to need nothing? Sometimes you might say, I don't know what to get them. The good news is, you don't have to get them this gift. You already have it. You already possess it. It's not something you have to go out and get in order to give it. I love this phrase from the Canadian Blood Services, their slogan phrase, it's in you to give. And I think that that's such a brilliant phrase that they've gone with. And that's similar to what I'm asking you to give this Christmas or drawing our attention to. It's similar to that. Give something that you already have. I don't mean you're re-gifting something. But giving something that you already have, not just anything, it's pretty specific. But here's the catch. There's a price to it. It's going to cost you something. There is a significant price to giving this. It doesn't refer to money, but probably time and energy, some kind of investment. I love the phrase that King David said, far be it for me to offer the Lord something that costs me nothing. That there's value when it costs us, and not necessarily financial, costing us dollars, but there's an investment, time, energy, effort, whatever it might be. It's going to cost you something. It may be more than you want to pay. Heads up. You may face an argument with yourself as we walk through the next few moments together. That's too much. That's too high. I'm not able to pay that. I can't afford that. Others of you may say, no problem. I can pay that. It's easy to do. My contention would be it's easier said than done to be able to give this kind of present. My invitation, which sounds nicer than my challenge, but it really is, it's both an invitation and a challenge, is to every time you hear the word present this Christmas, is that it will tie you back to this sermon. It'll tie you back to this moment, and you will remember about giving this gift. And it's very simple. It's be present this Christmas. For you to be present. I don't mean be the present. Like, here I am. You know, Merry Christmas, it's me. It's no, don't be the present, but rather be present this Christmas. You say, well, I don't even understand what that means. Be present this Christmas. Sometimes we've been in settings like this. How many here are present? Go ahead and raise your hands. You know, it's like that. Well, of course we're here, we're present. But you can be present and not be present. You can be present and not paying attention. You can be in a room with someone and your attention is somewhere else. Some say, well, I'm too broke to pay attention. It will cost you something to be present with the lives of the people that you're with this Christmas. Sometimes, when I'm with Audrey, and we're talking, she will say to me, where are you right now? Early in our marriage, I would say things like, my love, I'm right here listening to every word you're saying. Now I'm more honest. And I say things like, I'm sorry, I was just thinking about this. Here, I'm here now. these moments, even though I could... eye contact. I didn't break eye contact. And she said, you just all of a sudden, you got this blank look on your face, and I knew we weren't together, even though you were present. You weren't present. I know, what a bad person. But I'm not looking to ditch my responsibility in that. But I'm not the only one who does that. I was in a conversation a little while ago. In our home, front room, had guests there. My daughter was there, Audrey was there. I was talking, and I could tell that this guest wasn't listening to what I was saying. I was talking there, yeah, glanced at their phone, And so I inserted in the conversation, and then the purple elephant left and kept on. Audrey and my daughter, they looked at me like, what? The other person didn't notice a thing. That you can just insert, and then the purple elephant left? Yeah. No change at all. They weren't listening, but they looked like, kind of, that they were listening. They never noticed. A little while ago, I said to the same person, do you want me to show you where the off button is? Have you ever been in moments when somebody's on their phone, you're with them, and you're not present? Oh, I'm just telling them what we're doing. Oh, and they say, would you like me to show you where the off button is? And if you say to them, what did I just say? And they say, word for word, verbatim, the last sentence that you said, that doesn't mean they were listening. It only means they have good memory recall for the last sentence. That somewhere out there, hey, I can remember that. I recently was in a restaurant and I was talking, I thought, about some pretty important things. But there was a TV behind me. It wasn't quite as archaic as this one, but there was a TV above on the wall behind me. And I was talking with this person, and every time I looked down at my coffee cup, I could see their eyes go to the TV. And so then I'd look up, and they'd look right at me. So sneaky. You know, it's just this, really? And so then I would intentionally look longer at my coffee cup to see how long that they were going to watch this TV. Well, and it was a long time. Now, I was also talking with a lady who will go unnamed, probably, who told me that she strategically has to, when her and her husband go into a restaurant, she has to strategically place her husband away from the TV. If they're going to have any chance of a conversation, she has to do that. Now, there are husbands all over this room, like the disciples in the upper room, disciples at the Passover meal saying, is it I? Is it I? Yes, it is. It's, you name it, yes, you're guilty. And so I didn't want to say anything about Carolyn, but... here's the request about stop, about being present this Christmas. Stop multitasking. Be present. Be present with the people that you're with. And I knew that I was going to be talking about this morning. At least I knew by last night. After our Christmas banquet, majority of people had left. Everybody was walking out the door, and Ed and Carolyn, Audrey and I were in my office, and we were talking. And then I just noticed that I'm on my phone as they're in the room. Like, I'm not talking to you out of a place of strength. Or somehow I'm so out of touch. Guilty as charged. The TV in the restaurant, it is both magnetic and hypnotic. Even on shows I don't like, whatever, it draws me the light. Stop multitasking. An MIT neuroscientist, I was reading an article by him, and in the article he quoted this, that people don't really have the ability to multitask at all. That you're just switching from one task to another very rapidly. We don't get tickets for multitasking driving. We get tickets for distracted driving. It's not just that we're multitasking, it's that we're distracted. And when the weather's much nicer and I'm riding my motorcycle, I'm a far better driver and safer driver on my motorcycle than I am in my car. Because I'm on my motorcycle, I'm fully engaged. I'm fully engaged with all the traffic, where the speed, the road ahead, where everything is. I'm not listening to music. I've got nothing going except on the bike, paying attention. And I care about my position, where I am. I'm not in somebody's blind spot, on and on. I'm fully aware. My car? I am talking on my phone, dictating to Siri to send a text. I'm listening to music, I'm drinking a coffee while I'm turning a corner or changing lanes, right? It's all of those things, and I'm doing them very safely and very rapidly, but multitasking, it's okay, but I would get a ticket for distracted driving, and somehow I'm just multitasking. Oh, we can more be distracted. I think there's a principle in this. Here's a scripture. Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it happened, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, and that won't be taken away from her." Martha welcomed Jesus in. She wasn't unkind. She wasn't uncaring. She might have even been excited that Jesus is there, maybe even glad. But she was multitasking. And as I read the story, I think, well, rightfully so. There's lots to be done. As this group of people is gathered in my home, came along with Jesus, and as he's teaching, once the teaching is over, these men of God disciples, they're going to be hungry. And in fact, if I don't have food ready for them, they're not only going to be hungry, they're going to be hangry. And things are not going to go well. Somebody's got to do something. I can't feed all of these people with just, a little fish and some bread. Wait, that's another story. And so she says to Jesus, "Don't you care? Got all these things to do." And says, "Have her join me." And essentially, Jesus says instead, "Martha, how about you join her? She has chosen one thing." Martha, somewhere in all of this, you both made a choice. You've made a choice, conscious or unconscious choice, to multitask, to be distracted, to be doing a lot of things all at once. And Mary, she's chosen one thing, and I'm not going to take that one thing away from her by adding more to her. Sometimes she's chosen one thing, well, I'll take it away. no, she's chosen one thing. I'll add so much more, so much distraction, so much worry or anxiety about all these things. And I think the lesson this morning is, just in the context of Jesus, we'll often talk about that out of this text, that don't be distracted in your time with the Lord. But give him your full attention. One thing's needful. And Mary's chosen the better part. Sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time with him. Out of all the things we need to push aside, do that one thing's needful. But I think this morning, there's another lesson for us, and that is this. Mary chose one thing. Be present. Be present with the person you're with. And I think it applies not only to Jesus, it applies to us as people, that we would be present with one another. We wouldn't be distracted. We wouldn't be worried about all kinds of things. And I don't have the answer on, well, what about all the things that need to get done? Somehow, I don't know. Do them another time. Don't do them. I don't know. Especially when I'm thinking, well, honey, aren't we going to eat? You know, just the how does it, it just doesn't all happen. But I think the priority is to be present with the people you're with. People need you to be present this Christmas. I don't know how many presents we need, but I know this. People need you to be present with them. Not worried or distracted or multitasking. And when I talked about it will cost you something, it will cost us something, it really does. There is a price to pay to be present with people. It'll be time. It'll be, maybe in the restaurant, you have to face away from the TV. We'll all be facing the wall. You know, I don't know how it works to shut out the distraction, but to be present. I can't tell you how many times I've failed at this. In conversation, looks like I'm paying attention, peripheral vision. I need to get to that person. I need to do this. I can't tell you how many times. I just want to get better. And I want to grow. And even as I said to my friend, do you want me to show you where the off button is? I wonder if this morning we could ask the Lord, God, would you help us with the off button? I'm not just talking about social media or phones or TVs, whatever. We can be distracted by a great many things. But can we figure this out this Christmas season, that when we're with somebody, we're going to be with them. And in that moment, when we're with them, we'll be open to the Lord to whatever he wants to do. I wonder if he wants us to speak something into their life, or hear with different ears, or see them a different way. We've always perceived them this way, but to see something different, valuable treasure in their life that God will be able to speak to us. Because we're not scattered all over the place, but we're present with the people this Christmas. This season we celebrate, I mentioned last night, Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God near us. Not just God in the room, God with us, an encounter with God, Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if we can live this out with people, that we would be with them. So every time you hear the word Christmas, present, think present tense. I am going to be present with you and not distracted. And my heart leaps when I think of the possibility that will take place in relationship. We have no idea even how many people at this season are lonely. And we think, well, we're together in the same room. That doesn't mean that people aren't lonely. Can we be present? Give them our attention. They are worth it. It will cost us something, but it's far better to give than to receive. And we will be blessed as we are Christmas present in people's lives. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, thank you for unfolding for us a reminder about Mary and Martha, about being present, about not being distracted when we're with people. In the moment, of all the moments, we think, Jesus, there you were in her house and she missed you. God, help us to not have people in our homes, in our lives, and somehow miss them. Oh yeah, they were here, we met, we were together, but somehow miss the person and being present because we're distracted by so much. God, help us to live in the present, to be able to minister life to people, to care for people by giving them our full attention, by paying attention to one another this Christmas season. And God, we pray in that there'd be some fruitfulness. that care would grow, that community would grow, that love would grow, that the lonely would be comforted, that the scattered would just somehow, the confusion would stop. We'd be able to find significance and meaning and value in our relationships because we had moments this Christmas of being present. And God, I ask for every person here, all of us, with all of the stuff that goes on, if it's entertaining or going places or work things, God, busy, hurry, noise, God, help us to navigate that well in a way that honors you, in a way that we don't miss people this Christmas, that we can be present with them. And then the purple elephant left.